what we love to eat, and what we can afford to eat. It's a story that is uniquely American, shaped by economics, geography, and immigration. This week, we're going to examine how some of our food ways are changing because of COVID-19 and this country's racial reckoning in a series we're calling We Are What We Eat. Today, Chef Sean Sherman joins us. Sherman is a cookbook author and creator of the Indigenous Food Lab, and he's in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Sean, you are a member of the Oglala Lakota tribe and grew up in the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. Still, when you decided to write a Lakota cookbook and explore what you call pre-colonization foods, you found there weren't any cookbooks, and that information was rather scarce and really just generalized all indigenous food ways. How did you go about doing the research and creating these recipes?
Well, there had been a few other indigenous cookbooks out there, but I was looking for something a little bit more specific that really focused on regional indigenous foods and really kind of encompassed the vast knowledge of indigenous peoples around their food systems. So, you know, the vast knowledge of wild plants around us and all the different uses of these plants, whether it's food or medicine or crafting, looking at Native American heirloom varietals of agriculture. So really digging into that history and looking at what seeds are still alive and available today from indigenous communities of all these different varieties of corn and beans and squash and sunflower and things like that. And just looking at how people are preparing things and, you know, it just kind of took me on a journey to look at all of this history through a culinary lens and try to discern like what are true regional indigenous flavors that really kind of showcase our amazing diversity that we have across the United States and Canada and basically everywhere.
Yes. I mean, I'm so fascinated when you say trying to find what seeds are still alive. What recipes and ingredients were hard to find? Is there a specific dish that feels like home to you?
Well, one that I always refer to is a really simple dish just called wojapi, which is just, it was traditionally chokecherry, which was this fruit that grows out on the plains and around the Black Hills. And it was something that Lakota people had been harvesting for a long time. And it just reminds me of being a kid in my grandmother's house and just the flavor and the aroma of that particular piece. You know, there's a lot of pieces that we've lost over the years. And, you know, it's looking at the true histories of what happened in the United States, especially to indigenous peoples and especially to like my own family, you know, because I look at like my great grandfather's era, who was born in the late 1860s, and he sees many clashes with the U.S. government, and he eventually sees the formation of Pine Ridge Reservation. He sees his kids having to go to boarding schools. He sees the Battle of Little Bighorn when he's 18. He sees the Wounded Knee Massacre. And, you know, so much to see in a single lifetime. And it was really that assimilation and boarding school efforts of the reservations that's been so damaging, because we started losing so much of our own indigenous education around our food ways and our cultures. And it's something that we're working really hard to try and bring back.
You know, you have me thinking about something that really defining American food is really hard, because it's kind of like asking, how do we define America? Which is something that people struggle to answer, because in many ways it asks us to look at our past and all of the historical things that you were talking about that has happened to lots of different populations of people in the United States, first with the indigenous people. What does the idea of American food mean to you?
Well, I think that to really truly understand American food, you have to take into account all of this history. You know, because the United States government has really never come to terms of how it created so much privilege and wealth off of stolen indigenous lands and the decimation of indigenous peoples and off the backs of stolen indigenous African people on top of that. And, you know, there's really so much story to be told of the resiliency of these cultures that we have across the U.S. and this direct link of indigenous peoples that they have to community and to region and just to the plant and the environments around us, you know. So there's so much to learn. And I feel like if you're going to identify American food, you know, it's obviously not just hamburgers and soda. Like, you have to really dig deep and you have to see that there's so much amazing diversity that lies across the board, you know, with all the different areas of, we have mountain regions and plains and coastal regions, and there's so much. And there's just, you know, there were so many indigenous communities and cultures, and you have to take that into account and understand that true diversity to start to understand true American food.
Your cookbook, The Sous Chef's Indigenous Kitchen, came out 3 years ago. And since then, you've really focused on teaching people about indigenous food ways. You are in the process, as I mentioned, of starting the Indigenous Food Lab. What do you hope this lab will do?
It's our kind of our nonprofit vision. So we're creating a kitchen that's dedicated and focused on research and development of more knowledge around indigenous food. It's we're going to be creating a lot of education and curriculum, and we're really just trying to create a safe place for people to have access if they want to understand more about indigenous foodways with all facets. So it's a study of wild foods and ethnobotany and native agriculture and seed keeping and farming techniques and medicinals and culinary and food preservation and even language and stories and art. You know, it all combines together surrounded by food. And our goal is to really help a lot of tribal communities that have suffered from so much and are still facing modern day segregation today. And we really want to help have healthy nutritional and cultural food access. And so we want to help build a new generation of native chefs and entrepreneurs and food producers. And hopefully, you know, we have this vision of one day being able to drive across the nation, stopping at indigenous focused food businesses and being able to experience this immense amount of diversity and just seeing how wonderful and how much bounty we have across this country.
As you speak, I'm thinking about how indigenous people have the highest rates of diabetes and are more likely than any other U.S. household to not have enough food to eat. This thing that you're doing, it really sounds like the healing of people through food.
Absolutely. You know, and I think it's going to be really important. And we see a really important path in the future to a better understanding of indigenous knowledge. And we feel like our generation has to be stewards of this knowledge. And it's not just here in the U.S. because colonization has affected people from all over the world, you know, throughout all of the Americas, Africa, India, Southeast Asia, Australia, New Zealand, Hawaii. And everybody has these common stories of colonization. And we're still facing a lot of kind of the aftermath of a lot of this history. And a lot of these indigenous populations have been left with kind of a perpetuated poverty, you know, with very little access to their own traditional foods and an immense amount of health disparity when it comes to food access and nutrition access. And we see a very clear path of helping people to preserve that knowledge and bring it back into their main lives and to really celebrate more regional and community-based food systems, you know, as I feel like COVID, we've really kind of shown us how vulnerable we are by being over-reliant on too much processed commercial foods that are coming from all over the place, when we should really be focused on supporting our local growers, just as our indigenous ancestors did.
How has the pandemic impacted your efforts?
We still have a lot of things moving forward. And, you know, the whole food industry has been kind of turned on its head because of this COVID situation. But, you know, we see a very clear path of just helping to reset and taking this time for reflection and taking this time to do something positive for the future and making sure that we're helping other people, you know, create more food security, because it's going to be a crazy time.
You all are doing this work, but what's your call to action for greater society?
Well, I think people really need to focus on regional foods. I think people really need to wake up and understand true histories and not ignore a lot of the tough histories that happened across this country. And I think there's a lot of lessons that we can learn from indigenous communities, how they're able to survive using basically just plants and animals of their region. And there's so much, you know, the Western culinary diet has never really taken the time to learn this vast amount of botany around us and all these plants that are so giving to us. You know, so if you look at the world through an indigenous lens, you're going to see so much food and medicine and shelter and crafting in just the plant life around you. So there's so much to learn.
That's Chef Sean Sherman. Thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.